Morning, please be seated.
The first argument on calendar for the en banc court this morning is Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department v. Charles Jenkins et al., case number 65102. Mr. Crosby, are you ready to proceed? And you have Mr. Eccles with you today. How are you today? Good. And this is Mr. Aldrich and Mr. Davis, right? Mr. Aldrich, Mr. Davis, yes.
May it please the court, good morning and thank you. We're here today on a very important issue that pertains to the department, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's statutory and contractual right to administratively transfer its employees as found in Nevada Revised Statute, Chapter 288.150, as well as Article 7 of the Parties Collective Bargaining Agreement. As noted in the department's opening brief, we have a threshold issue the department believes divested the UMRB of jurisdiction to hear this entire case based upon a ripeness issue. Specifically, Sergeant Jenkins in this case did not exhaust his bargain for contractual remedy as found in Article 23 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement, specifically that the decision or the notice of the decision to administratively transfer Sergeant Jenkins pursuant to Article 23 is to be reviewed by a deputy chief. He was informed by his captain, then captain at the time, Brian Greenway. He was also advised in his notice of transfer of his Article 23 rights.
Well, he tried to exercise his Article 12 rights and was rebuffed. He went to the EMRB, which has a regulation that says it's permissive, not mandatory, to insist on contractual exhaustion. So what's the problem?
The problem, Your Honor, is first that Sergeant Jenkins was not denied the opportunity to review the decision. His grievance was rejected as an Article 12 grievance, which is a different animal than a grievance set or a dispute that we brought forward in Article 20.
Right, but let's say he didn't exhaust. They still, but as a matter of regulation, have discretion to proceed with the complaint that he filed.
I will concede, Your Honor, that Nevada Administrative Code referenced 288.375 is permissive in the use of may, but it also requires that a showing of special circumstances or unfair prejudice or extreme prejudice in order to grant that. And we propose that there was no finding by the EMRB of special circumstances or extreme prejudice. There wasn't any showing of it. And the only offering from the respondents as to why that contractual remedy was not exercised was because it was clandestine and disingenuous. There's no offering as to why there's a special circumstances. There was no facts or evidence presented as to why it's a special circumstance.
I think his point was that it isn't a 23, it's a fish or fowl thing. His point is it wasn't an Article 23 remedy he sought. He sought review of this as an unfair labor practice for sort of bait and switching him, right? I mean, that his case, his claim. Now, I agree that you dispute that.
Certainly, and that really is a crux of the matter. They are sort of part and parcel together. The inquiry as to whether the EMRB had jurisdiction or whether the grievance was denied or properly filed under Article 12 is all stems as to whether or not this is administrative transfer or a disciplinary transfer. The issue, however, is that the parties had an agreed upon contract, and as this court is aware, the preference for parties with collective bargaining agreement is to resolve grievances according to the grievance process. Otherwise, it renders our contracts meaningless. And in this case, by ignoring Article 23 rights, even though the department advised him of the same, the department got deprived of its bargain for procedures through a unilateral decision based upon respondents. And when it comes to a matter that is not a mandatory subject of bargaining, like administrative transfers, now the department, by virtue of the UMRB's order, has been divested of its statutory right under 288.130.
But doesn't he have the same argument, though, from his side? He sees it as an Article 12 dispute. In other words, that you were adding to the discipline that had already been meted out. And so when he had the transfer take place, he said, I think this is additional discipline. Here's my complaint. Here's my grievance under Article 12. And you said, get thee to Article 23. Well, from his perspective, you're as wrong as from your perspective he is. So I'm not sure that where that gets us.
Well, I think, Your Honor, the important point is that while a party may disagree with the process the parties have bargained for, they still have to go through the process. Once he goes to the deputy chief, then he can do something else if he feels free to choose, feels free to do so. But the issue is he didn't go through that process. And furthermore, what happens is every transfer now becomes an issue of whether or not it was for disciplinary purposes. Every transfer the department makes for administrative purposes has a threat of going to this now ad hoc venue created by the EMRB, which usurps our statutory and our contractual rights to administratively transfer personnel, because if someone says, I think the department is transferring me for disciplinary purpose or for punishment, whatever that is in the perception of the recipient of that transfer, now has a venue, as by virtue of this order, to go to the EMRB under the guise of a prohibited practice.
And so before the order of this transfer, then just the transfer, there was a 8% loss of pay as addition, and additionally there was a less favorable work schedule.
I will, for purposes of this case, yes, the assignment differential pay, which, as noted in our brief, is not a property right, it's a temporary pay assignment for when you are working in that assignment, that would be something that came with the transfer because he's no longer working in a bargain for position that is a recipient or that is entitled to receive assignment differential pay. With respect to less favorable assignment, that's a matter of perception. Some people like working patrol. Some people like working in the Bureau. I don't think, as we noted in our brief, that someone's preference as to what's a more favorable assignment constitutes an adverse employment action. Otherwise, every time the department moves somebody on from the second floor to the third floor of Building C, they could say, this is a less favorable assignment because I got 27 seconds more I have to ride up in the elevator. The real crux of this issue is not the effect of the ADP loss, because that's a bargain for term in our collective bargaining agreement. Only certain people get, or certain positions get ADP, and it's a function of where you're working. Yes, in this case, the transfer to patrol sergeant does not allow, pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement, Sergeant Jenkins to receive ADP. But ADP is a temporary pay. It is not a property right. No one's guaranteed it. It is a creature strictly of that contract. And so the department can't very well transfer Sergeant Jenkins to a non-ADP assignment and then give him ADP pay, because then all of a sudden I have 47 other client grievances that I'm treating someone differently. And I will note now the concern with respect to whether or not this is should be accepted as an Article 12 grievance or an Article 23 grievance is really a significant issue.
Counsel, before you've touched on that, but you've also stayed away from the Chapter 288 and NAC Chapter 288 language that basically would allow this to go forward even with the hiccups you're talking about.
Is Your Honor referring to the jurisdictional threshold issue?
Yes.
And again, I note with that, Your Honor, if the EMRB is allowed, and I will admit, I will concede the Nevada Administrative Code 288.375 is permissive, it's may. But looking to the purpose, first look to the plain language of that administrative code, it requires a showing of special circumstances or extreme prejudice, no finding of which was found in this case, despite the fact it was briefed and argued. There's no finding from the EMRB of that, and that's in the statute. So the EMRB wants to exercise its discretion to dismiss or to exercise jurisdiction over the case. It should also follow the parameters of 3A and B, which require showing either of those two instances. But the larger issue with respect to the jurisdiction is that this is a subject that is not subject to mandatory bargaining. This is an administrative transfer.
And it's your position it's an administrative transfer. The other party is indicating that it's a disciplinary transfer. Thus, we have the genesis of what is before us. It's interesting to me because we have two parties both having, in essence, breached the contract and now coming before this court looking for the court to do equity. And it's really interesting from that standpoint, but you're talking about bargain provisions that they're supposed to exhaust. The other party is talking about bargaining for position that the department is supposed to do things a specific way, and yet the department didn't do it. As we segue into the second issue, which you're talking about, is this administrative? Is this disciplinary? We have this individual supposedly doing something wrong, and instead of putting him through the disciplinary procedure, you go to this, quote, administrative, as you're calling it, transfer, moving him out despite the complaints, and almost like sweeping it in the rug and saying, okay, you're going to take this in lieu of this, and you're good. What happened? Why are we here?
Well, there was no, Your Honor, there was no offer to take a transfer in lieu of anything.
Why didn't they send him straight to discipline?
Because we have to do an investigation under the collective bargaining agreement and fundamental basic notions of due process. We have to do an investigation before we can discipline somebody. And this is really the rub that we face.
Was one ever started?
An investigation?
Yes.
Absolutely. It was completed by Internal Affairs.
And he was disciplined with a written reprimand, so that was the end of it.
No, Your Honor, because if you look at Article 23, it allows the department to effect an administrative transfer based upon performance or conduct that arises. The true rub we run into.
And you read that to say, for the same reason that he was disciplined, you can transfer.
He was not transferred for disciplinary purposes. He was transferred.
Well, but you're saying it's performance or conduct. And the language is perplexing because I guess you can imagine performance or conduct that a transfer would not be disciplinary. And there's a gray area in there. But the fact of the matter is his discipline was a fait accompli. He received a written reprimand, which he accepted.
Correct. But therein lies the rub, Your Honor, because there are instances where we administratively transfer people for performance or conduct. Let's say someone's not meshing well with a squad. That would be an example of a performance accoutrement that you would transfer somebody administratively. Now, if I transfer somebody based upon this holding and they think that it's disciplinary and say this is just a ruse to get me out, I find myself in the MRB in this new venue created to challenge what their money does not have jurisdiction over, which would be administrative transfer.
Oh, but his claim looks a lot from the EMRB jurisdiction, like the City of Reno case. I mean, I don't see the difference except for contractual exhaustion.
Which City of Reno case? The 2002 one or the 1980?
The Reno versus RPPA, which is 2002.
The issue here, Your Honor, is it may seem that this is a case that is easily distinguished on the factual findings of the EMRB and identified in conjunction with the cases cited both by our briefs as well as counsel's, but the pragmatic effect of this order is that the EMRB is exceeding its jurisdiction that is conferred upon it by the statute by addressing a topic that is not subject to mandatory bargaining. I have three of these cases right now in front of the EMRB, two of which just got stayed by the EMRB pending the outcome of this case. So I query whether or not this is truly based upon a factual distinction. I don't know why other cases would be stayed pending the outcome of this case if we're truly dealing about facts. Because what is happening is every time after this case came out or this order came out, and my department transfers somebody or moves a body, we catch one of these prohibited labor practices. There are three challenged movements of bodies in two different cases, two parties in one case. Both of those have been stayed by the MRB pending the outcome of this decision. And that is what is happening, is this has created an ad hoc venue to go ahead and allow the EMRB to exceed its jurisdiction, otherwise conferred on it by Nevada Revised Statute, Chapter 288.
So let me see if I understand the way you interpret the CBA. Under the provisions of Article 23, then, which says, whenever performance or conduct issues arise that are identifiable, that seems to be a precursor to this administrative transfer under that section. Would you agree?
I would agree, Ron. There has to be there under
this language compels whenever there is a performance or conduct issues that arise.
Yes.
That are identifiable, that invokes the department's right to administratively transfer.
Yes.
Okay. What if the employee who's being transferred argues that this is a form of discipline?
That, and therein lies the problem.
Well, I get that. That's why you're all here.
But what that means is
under your interpretation, the employee must file a grievance under Article 23. Does the captain then have the right to assert or determine whether it's discipline or whether it's not?
It would actually be the deputy chief.
The deputy chief.
Or assistant sheriff, depending on the case. But the deputy chief would have the ability, which is in the record as well, to make a determination on that administrative
And that determination is final.
Yes.
And the employee cannot address that any further.
Not under Article 23 unless it wants to then challenge a prohibited labor practice, but we're back in the same bailiwick as we would be with the EMRB usurping our contractual and statutory right to administrative transfer.
So, given this scheme, tell me when, if ever, an employee can make an Article 12 grievance.
When the transfer is disciplinary in nature, which under the contract, it has different earmarks than administrative transfer. For one, it stays in your file and is as discipline, which means you cannot promote, you cannot apply for certain sections or transfers within the agency because you have discipline in your file. An administrative transfer does not have that. You do not get a choice or an opportunity to pick an assignment if they are available.
Well, it sounds to me like you're talking about consequences. I'm talking about what gave rise to the discipline in the first place. Where in the action in this record did this employee sustain a discipline?
You received a discipline that's found in the adjudication of complaint, which would be...
Yeah, I get that.
That would be the formal document administering
the
discipline.
So the only vehicle this employee would have to challenge that discipline is an Article 3 challenge under your view of the CBA?
An Article 12 challenge for the adjudication, yes.
But he was transferred under Article 23.
And I thought Your Honor was asking about the written reprimand challenge would be an Article 12. The Article 23 transfer, there is no grievance procedure because it is a statutory right to assign persons.
I see.
That's why there's no grievance right.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a statutory right to administratively transfer employees. If it's a disciplinary transfer, he can challenge that under Article 12.
What if he's successful? Can he reverse the reprimand? I mean the transfer?
On a disciplinary transfer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting to see that interpretation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'd like to take about half of respondents' allotted time this morning. And then I'll leave the remainder to Mr. Aldrich to argue on behalf of the Police Managers and Supervisors Association. Under NRS Chapter 288, disciplinary transfers are not a management right. They are specifically excluded and are instead part of the disciplinary process. This means that they are a mandatory subject of bargaining, and as such, an employer commits a statutory prohibited labor practice if it makes a unilateral change to the disciplinary process, as this Court recognized in its 2002 decision in the City of Reno. The EMRB was within its jurisdiction, in fact, within its exclusive jurisdiction, to hear this case as just such a prohibited labor practice case, and this Court should affirm the decision because the EMRB's decision is in line with precedent from this Court, it's in line with well-settled principles of labor law, and its factual findings are supported by substantial evidence and entitled to deference. There is no contractual exhaustion requirement that limits EMRB jurisdiction. The EMRB's authority over prohibited labor practice comes from its enabling legislation, NRS Chapter 288. Both NRS 288.110, subsection 2, and NRS 288.280 speak to the EMRB's authority. Neither of those sections contain any limitations, conditions, or restrictions on the EMRB's authority over prohibited labor practice complaints. If this Court were to create a contractual exhaustion requirement, it would run counter to that statutory language, which authorizes the EMRB to hear and decide any controversy concerning prohibited labor practices and any controversy arising under the interpretation or performance of Chapter 288. And let's prescind from the notion that this was an administrative transfer. This was a disciplinary transfer as found by the EMRB. The EMRB addressed that question head-on, and it's a factual question. What were the department's intentions in transferring Sergeant Jenkins? The EMRB's factual findings are supported by substantial evidence and so entitled to deference. This was a disciplinary transfer. The EMRB recognized that this case hinges on that question because the statutes, NRS 288-153A, draws that line in the sand. If it's a disciplinary transfer, then it's not a management right. It's a mandatory subject of bargaining. If, on the other hand, this comes down on the other side of the line If it comes down as not a disciplinary action, then it is a management right.
What distinguishes this as a disciplinary as opposed to an administrative transfer? What supports that in your view?
It's the factual circumstances.
That's actually what supports that.
It's the circumstances identified by the EMRB in its order. Principally, the memorandum of transfer that identified the reason for this transfer as Sergeant Jenkins, the finding of misconduct against Sergeant Jenkins. That was the reason he was transferred. Testimony in front of the EMRB confirmed that that was the reason. But for that misconduct, he would not have been transferred. The EMRB also looked to the circumstances of the transfer, the fact that the transfer was to a position that would deprive Sergeant Jenkins of the 8% ADP that he was earning. So there were negative consequences to Sergeant Jenkins, the scheduling factor, a little bit of a loss of reputation. Sergeant Jenkins testified from the EMRB that it was a little bit of an embarrassment to receive this transfer.
Well, as counsel indicated, any time there was even if it was an administrative transfer, you might have that consequence, but it might not be disciplinary.
Exactly. It's a factual question.
Right.
That's why the EMRB was created. That's why they hold these hearings, is to decide those issues.
So it's their determination, and as long as it's supported, then so be it.
Yes. Now, that doesn't mean that every transfer is going to be a disciplinary transfer. The EMRB is going to look at the given facts of each individual case.
But are you going to be reviewing every single one where there's this contest between whether it's disciplinary or performance or conduct? I mean, that's not a bright, clear line.
No, it's not. But that's why the EMRB exists, to hear and decide those cases. As far as whether the EMRB is going to be inundated with cases raising this issue, I don't believe so. The reservation of disciplinary...
Because you've got to get it to a failure to honor the collective bargaining agreement. I mean,
Well, even more than that, the EMRB doesn't hear cases that solely concern breach of a collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
We're concerned with statutory prohibited labor practices.
So, and the prohibited labor practice in this case is using administrative transfers as disciplinary measures, correct?
Effectively, yes. What they're doing is they're changing the bargain for disciplinary process. The EMRB found that the association and the department had not bargained to use this Article 23 process to impose discipline.
Right. So if you had a case where you just transferred an employee because there were two employees and they didn't like each other, and so you wanted to separate them, but there was no departmental offense associated with that, and the person claimed it was disciplinary, how would that rise to something that would trigger the attention of the EMRB?
Based on the hypothetical you stated, it probably wouldn't. The EMRB would look to whether or not there were facts stated that would give rise to a prohibited labor practice, more than just a breach of contract. So they would look to what are the facts of this case that would indicate whether this was a disciplinary transfer process, and then also what process did the department use. If the department uses the bargain for a disciplinary process, calls it a disciplinary transfer, allows parties to file a grievance over that transfer, then there's not going to be a problem. They're not changing anything. So it would depend on the facts. The EMRB has in its regulations built in safeguards to kind of filter some of these cases out. In fact, it came up in this particular case. The EMRB has a regulation. It's in NAC 288-240. I don't believe I cited this in the brief. But it's a regulation that says if there's going to be a challenge from a respondent to a complaint, to the substance of a complaint, that needs to be made at the outset of the case, at or before the time an answer is filed. And, in fact, that occurred in this case. It actually began as a motion for sanctions filed by the association, but then turned into a counter motion to dismiss filed by the department, where they made this argument that this is a contractual case, not within the jurisdiction of the EMRB.
Okay, I'm trying to get around to the point, maybe I should just do it directly, but your opposing colleague makes the point that for us to credit, to affirm in this case would open the door to the EMRB reviewing every single decision to administratively transfer someone, because it would then become this contest of 12 versus 23 and whether that's an unfair labor practice. Can you answer that point?
Well, certainly it's possible that there could be concerns over transfers. I don't believe it will create the bailiwick that Mr. Crosby preferred to, because disciplinary transfers are not a management right. It's been that way since 1975. That's the way the statute's read since 1975. Also, for the EMRB to scrutinize the motivations behind a transfer isn't anything new, and it wouldn't go away if the disciplinary aspect were removed. The EMRB also hears cases concerning alleged discrimination for race, for sex, for personal reasons. Although if an employee feels that they're being discriminated against on those cases, they can bring a complaint before the EMRB as well. EMRB hasn't been inundated with those types of cases either. And again, the EMRB will look to consider whether or not there are facts to support an actual prohibited labor practice over and above a breach of contract. There needs to be more than just a breach of contract for the EMRB to be concerned, to assume jurisdiction and to hear that case.
Something opposing counsel indicated was that there were two cases pending that were stayed dependent on the outcome of this case in particular. Were those cases factually similar, or why would they stay those cases?
Well, that was more of a pragmatic decision. A couple of reasons. One is the EMRB does have a heavy caseload, and we've got plenty of cases to hear in the meantime. Two, it does concern at least the same theory, unilateral change to the disciplinary process by making a transfer. So the EMRB is waiting to hear what this court says. Whether they're factually similar or not, I'm not qualified to answer because the EMRB hasn't held a hearing. They need to hold that hearing, evaluate the facts, and then decide whether or not those cases would also count as a, whether or not the department committed a prohibited labor practice in those cases or not. There's no further questions. I'd like to turn the remainder of my time, or the respondent's time, over to Mr. Aldrich.
Well, before you go, your view of the jurisdictional question then is under 288.110, this is a matter where the EMRB has jurisdiction to provide, in effect, DEC relief in interpreting the CBA.
The EMRB has the jurisdiction to hear and decide prohibited labor practices. When they do that, on occasion, it's incidental to the EMRB's decision, but on occasion, they do need to look at collective bargaining agreements. And in this particular case, when the EMRB hears unilateral change, what they're considering is whether or not there's been a change to the terms and conditions of employment. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, that's going to be established by the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, as it was in this case. So the EMRB, they didn't do a full-on deck relief, consider every provision in the contract. They went as far as they needed to decide this case. They looked at Article 23, determined whether or not that included the disciplinary transfers, the ability to impose discipline on employees, decided that it didn't, and that's as far as the EMRB went.
Well, in answering this case, the question in this case by this court, should this court undertake an interpretation of Article 23 and the scope of the precatory language in that subsection?
This court doesn't need to go any further than the EMRB did to decide that that doesn't include the disciplinary process, and therefore when the department starts using that to impose discipline, they're changing a mandatory subject of bargaining.
So factually, a case with different facts should address that in a future case is what your view is?
No, actually, because the EMRB, again, doesn't engage in full-on contract interpretation. They only go as their permitted to do that as far as necessary to decide a prohibited labor practice case. So no, the EMRB is not going to engage in full-on deck relief under a contract provision. They're only going to decide statutory prohibited labor practices case.
Thank you. Provide Mr. Aldrich an extra minute. Mr. Aldrich.
Appreciate that. Good morning. Thank you for the report. I wanted to address something Mr. Cosby said that I hope will address what I'm hearing his concerns. He said that every transfer, if the court upholds this, every transfer will carry the risk of going to the EMRB. The reality is every transfer carries the risk of going to the EMRB. You have to look at it factually. I took one look at this case and said this is a disciplinary transfer. When you look at the memo says, as a result of it being determined that you engaged in inappropriate verbal communications with subordinates of a nature that violates the department's harassment and discrimination policies, I recommend you transfer. He was given a written reprimand separately, and then the same day given a memo that says, because you did something over here, you're being transferred. A written reprimand has no other consequences to it other than it goes in your file. The transfer takes away his ADP, takes away the position that he had, did cost him some hit to his character, so to speak. But what's interesting, when you look at this case, is Captain Greenway talked about how they had this voluntary transfer, which wasn't disciplinary at all, had nothing to do with Article 23 or Article 12 or anything else, already in place. But the deputy chief nixed that after the bump came through. And we can get into that to the extent that the court wants me to, but Captain Greenway talked about how they didn't want to do this as a disciplinary transfer because if you do it as a disciplinary transfer and he grieves it, it causes them an operational problem. Okay? They double disciplined him for the same conduct. They hit it as a written reprimand and then hit him again with a transfer. The interesting thing, too, is Mike Snyder, who was the Director of Labor Relations, testified that only twice in 15 years had they ever done a disciplinary transfer. The reason that they did that in those instances was because somebody wanted to make a point. But they don't normally do that because if they grieve it and the department loses, they have to put them back where they were. And that's a problem for the department operationally. When you look at this case, that's exactly what they did. They did a disciplinary transfer. So when I saw it, I looked at it and said, this is discipline. We're going to grieve it under Article 12, and that's what we did. What they wanted, the department wanted to do was simply say, no, you can't, well, they did, you can't do this. It's in Article 23. Go back and see the deputy chief, who's already the guy who nixed the body for body transfer, so he can tell you pound sand and go away. And that is not acceptable. And when you went through the EMRB and their findings, they actually come back and talk about these things are a stunning admission that the department is avoiding its negotiated obligations. Captain Hank, also, who was one of the captains who wanted to have Sergeant Jenkins come over and work for him, testified that Deputy Chief Joseph nixed this deal because, as he put it, the deputy chief intervened and said not only would there be whatever sanctions were going to happen here, meaning under the sustained adjudication of complaint, but that Sergeant Jenkins was going back to uniform patrol assignment. Okay, so every indication in this case is that they were disciplining him, and that is why we did it the way we did. It's plain and simple. And every single transfer, the department needs to be worried about that. If they do it the right way, then it's pretty easy. They do it the right way. And Article 23 lays out what that process is. And it goes through and they have to give them notice and they have to give them a choice of shift and all these different things. Another little thing, it's sort of subtle. To me it wasn't subtle, but the other thing that happened here is every year there's this thing called the bump. And the bump comes along and it gives the supervisors and various people a chance to use their seniority to get moved to positions that they want to have. Article 23 is supposed to allow the person being transferred, if it's really an administrative transfer, to utilize the bump when available. The investigation here ended sometime in early January. The adjudication was handed down on the 22nd of February, so there's about a six-week time frame in there. In the middle of that was the bump. Sergeant Jenkins didn't take advantage of the bump because they had a body-for-body transfer in place. He wasn't going to need to. But even if we were to accept that this is somehow an Article 23 transfer, they didn't allow him to do that. And the EMRB found that. They took away all of his possibilities. They, right after the bump, they tell him, oh, now we're going to move you, and there's no assignment available for him to utilize the skills that he has. And so when you look at the facts of the case, it's very clear. Under these facts, this was a disciplinary transfer. And the EMRB was very, very clear on that. And they went through in great detail. And so it looks like I'm out of time. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions? All right. Thank you. The case will stand submitted.